So this is the new Career Matrix Excel spreadsheet, and it is up on the Glacier Point Solutions website. By the way, the starting code is 44. And somebody please remind me to do the end code because I won't remember. So Carissa, you're smiling. So would you mind letting me know?
I'll do my best.
Okay. So what the advantages of this new spreadsheet is the color coding, because then they can clearly see it's their values here, it's the MBTI or CIRSE here, and it's the desired characteristics here and the learning style. I did brand it as well, so that's another reason to use that one. I'll show you where it is in just a moment. But even more important is the color coding here, because the highlighting helps them see, okay, this is what matches my values. So if a job matches their values really strongly and doesn't match the others, it may be a choice to make, because if you use your values in your work, you will feel more fulfilled. So a lot of times when people come to us, it's because they don't feel fulfilled with their work. And so, you know, having this highlight and making sure that they understand these are where those scores are can be really helpful. And oftentimes when I'm talking to people, I go through and I say, well, look, this one matches really well with your values. This one does, and so forth. And they can also see the personality and so forth. So, and again, it's branded. So that is on the career exploration. Oh, it's on the list of associate pages on Glacier Point Solutions for your tool. So it's right here under career exploration coaching process. There's a training guide, and then there's also an Excel spreadsheet right here. So if you're not doing it online through Google Docs, this is where to get that document. And I really gauge it on how, you know, how tech savvy are they. If they're tech savvy, then I will use the Google Docs. If they're not, I will use this because it's a little more user-friendly, and you send it back and forth. With some clients, I just do it because they don't know Excel, and with some clients, they take it and they do it. So it just depends. I've even had people redesign it, you know, who are really technical. So
if we wanted to stick with Google Docs but use this the new format, we could just upload that to Google Docs and then share it with our client, or is
actually,
there a new version?
The Google Docs one is color-coded. It's not branded, though. So I'm going to remind myself to brand it, because I have, but it is color-coded already.
Okay. I can't remember. It's been
Well, in the beginning it wasn't, but now it is.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
So I will add the branding so that when they print it, it will have our branding on it. Any questions about that so far?
And this is the one you did back in April,
right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a new version.
And the Google Docs version you shared with us, right? Like via email.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me double check, Carissa. And what you do is you take the template and you copy it and name it, you know, add your client's name onto it and the date. And then it's a new, so you just keep copying it each time. But okay. I will make sure that you have that link. And I should add that. Okay. See, it's good. We're improving processes as we go.
I think what I did originally was I downloaded the Excel spreadsheet, and then I imported that into Google Docs, and it didn't translate well. It didn't have the balancing sheets on the second part and all of that. So
yeah.
I don't know if any of your other new coaches would do it that way, but
okay, good. So and what I should do is add that in the onboarding packet so that they'll understand that too. Great. And there's a little video here about how to copy and share it that April made. So there is a video right here to do it. So one of the things I wanted to do today is have you guys describe to me if you were talking to a client and you were explaining the career coaching process, how would you do that? So I want to have like one person do it, and then the next person add, and so forth. And then what we'll do is review the document to see what we're missing. And in some cases, it may not be what you described, but at least it'll help you really think through the whole process. So you do that when you're doing a consultation for career exploration, and you do it at the beginning as the client is starting the process. And you can use the flow chart that's on the career exploration process if you have somebody that's pretty technical and, you know, you're going to use this with engineers and other people that you think know flow charts, but and you may go through it, or you may just show them that's there. And you could every once in a while say, oh, look, we're on this step here, because sometimes they get like, when are we going to be finished, or where am I in the process? Am I making progress? You can go and you can say, look, we've added the final career criteria into the matrix, so we're here. We still have these steps to do. And also sometimes if they think they're going to stop, it can be a way to help them see there's a few more steps to do and let's get this done. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a really mm-hmm. useful tool here. And it is printable. There's a downloadable copy down here too. So I was wondering, Ariana, if I could pick on you and have you start explaining the career exploration process.
Sure. So explain it how I would explain it to a client
mm-hmm.
who's coming to us. Okay, sure. So I would start off by saying, okay, so the career exploration process begins with understanding who you are now in your career. So you're not the same professional that you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So we can start by understanding what your values are, what your interests are, your skills. And we do that. We have a few inventories that we could use to do that. And that really creates the foundation of us moving forward. So through that, we build criteria. And the criteria is what you need to, or what you'd like in your next career step. And once we get that criteria, we then consider all the possibilities that would fit that criteria for you. And then we would narrow down the possibilities, and you would choose a couple that you'd like to pursue, and we'll create a plan together to pursue those possibilities. And that will lead us into potentially job search, or it could lead us into evaluating school programs, or whatever that looks like for you. So I usually end about there. I might go on to say we have job search coaching, you know, consultation and interview coaching and all that stuff, but that's where I would normally stop. So is that what you're looking for, Donna?
Yes, that was what I was looking for. Excellent. Okay. Excellent job. Katie, what would you add to that?
Well, I think I would start with, part of finding the right fit is finding what makes you happy. And what makes you happy is based on your values. It's based on your desired business characteristics, right? The important things like comp, commute, working with a cool team, you know, those kinds of things. And the kind of work environment you thrive in. And so when you're clear on what those priorities are, then it makes it really beneficial to get clear about, okay, what types of roles would play to those strengths and what types of organizations would fit those strengths, what types of functions. So, but you've got to get clear first in order to be able to create it externally. And so we have a career exploration process that takes you through getting clear about those items. And part of that process where, you know, you're also talking about, things you like, things you don't like. So I'm taking notes the whole time, looking at criteria that's important, possible titles or roles that you're mentioning, things that could be possibilities. And so we're having a career exploration conversation through the process. And But the data shows us really what makes you happy. And the truth is, you know, when you're playing to your strengths and the position in the organization is aligned to your values, you're going to be happier. And you're going to stay, you're going to be a long-term employee. And you're going to bring more value.
Awesome.
And typically, career exploration people, they're lost.
Yeah.
Right? So really once lost. They hear that, they're like, oh my God, it'd be so great to get clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then mm-hmm. they're like, this sounds really interesting. I said, mm-hmm. yeah, the best part is we have these surveys and you don't have to pay extra for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to find out what makes you happy. You get to really be, and it's not that you know it, but you learn how to articulate it. And this is really beneficial when you're in an interview. It helps you decide what to look for, what questions to ask when you're going through the interview process. It's very supportive through the job search.
Okay, awesome. Carissa, you are really new, so I wouldn't expect you to have anything to add, but do you have any questions or anything to add?
I'm not that I have something to add, but what I'm learning through listening to you guys share is that I probably would have gone very much into, what I heard you do is talk to the who of the person. It's like who you are now, where you are now, what are your values, and really connect that to the process. And I probably would have gone straight more to the process, the steps. And so I'm hearing that that's a much more powerful way to connect and actually builds that coaching connection. So that's what I'm learning and hearing you share.
Right. Awesome. And I think what I would do is combine both of those. I think Ariana and Katie could do more of explaining the process and the fact that it's something you won't find any place else, and it really creates clarity. And I will do that in a moment. And then I think yes, the who and what you're gonna get out of it is really really valuable. Actually, if you were to explain the actual matrix part of it. How would you do that? And I'll let either one of you decide to speak.
Ariana, do you want to go?
Well, I just want to clarify. So the matrix part in the context of the process?
Yes.
In that same conversation we were just talking about?
Yeah, it would come towards the end of the mm-hmm. description of the process. How would you describe that?
When I talk about the matrix, it's usually when we create criteria. So, as I'm talking about criteria, what's important to you in your next career step, after identifying your values and your interests and your strengths, we actually capture this into a document that, where you have everything in front of you, and you're able to identify what's most important in terms of your own criteria, and then map it against possible career roles, possibilities that we identify and put into the matrix, and we can actually map it out to your criteria and see how aligned each possibility is to what you've identified as important. So that's part of our process to determine and focus in on where you'd like to pursue. I don't know, something like that.
Okay. Katie, what would you add to that?
Well, I mean, at the end, I tell them the process, right? So I say, so here's what we do. First, you take these four surveys, right? You tell them what they have to do, explain the VIA survey of character strengths, go through that process with them so they know what they have to send me.
Okay,
so
can you actually, can you
do it?
That? Yeah.
Okay.
I think
all right,
that's pretty
helpful. Okay, so what I typically do is I say, so what we start with is there are four surveys, typically three surveys, because I've already done the learning style inventory in the packet. Mm-hmm. There's three surveys online. I show them where it is, through the Zoom call. And I click the link and I'll say, you know, I'll explain about the survey of character strengths, about it being from Martin Seligman's book, Authentic Happiness, and how, you know, when you're most happy, right, this points out your strengths, your values that make you most happy. And then I go through each one, you know, wisdom. I scroll through it. I don't go in detail, but I say, yeah, you know, you can read about this. And then I show them specifically where they have to click to go take the survey, and I click it so they see that they go to a different website. You go to the US PEN website, you type in your address, they do not spam you, this is strictly for your use only. And then I say it's a 30-minute assessment, you need to do it in one sitting, you need to have it be quiet, no interruptions. And then what's gonna happen is they're gonna give you all this information, and all I need is the 24 strengths, the top 25 strengths. So you're going to cut and paste that in a Word document, and you're going to send that Word document to me because you can't download it. So I tell you, I get specific. Okay. And then I show them the Kiersey temperament, and I ask them, have you ever done the Myers-Briggs? Some of them have. They remember their initials. I said, great, then you don't need to do this. Some of them say, yeah, but I want to take it again. Fine, take it again. So I should go through this. I said, this is just a piece of it. Super simple. Print it out. Circle this. All I need are the initials that you get at the bottom. And then I show them back on that page how they can go look up their initial. Yeah. And then I show them what we look at. We look at preferred work environments. But I say, but look at suggestions of development, potential. I mean, there's a lot of good information here. Then I scroll down and say, there's even suggestions for work.
Yeah. For, and you want to really emphasize those, because, and I like to do these with them, go through them, because these are old-fashioned job titles, and if they say, oh, office manager, that's interesting, it we brainstorm about what else that could represent in the new world, right?
Yeah.
You know, office manager might be project manager, or it might be, you know, so kind of extrapolating. Mm-hmm. If it says marketing, I say, well, yeah, and now there's blogging for marketing. There's, you know, advertising on websites. So I like to do this with them, and I'm noting down which ones they choose. Yeah. Okay. And then you explain the desired characteristics, correct?
And then I explain the desired characteristics, and I tell them, it says only click 5, check 5, check 10. Because we have space on the matrix form.
Well, but usually that space I use for when I'm interviewing and getting criteria from them, though.
Oh, I got it. Well, and so, some of it is a duplicate of the VIA character survey string.
Yeah, and when they duplicate, that's telling them that for sure this is one we should use as a criteria. Yeah. It's important. Yeah, sometimes your values and your personality do overlap. And I'm going to show some examples in just a minute. Okay, yeah. And then how would you explain the actual career matrix?
Yeah, so then I scroll down and I click the matrix and I say, so this is what we do, is we put this criteria in this matrix. We've created a matrix here at Pleasure Point Solutions where we weight your criteria. So, and the scale is this from, you know, important to not as important. So you weight it, and then we go down to the second page, and it shows up on the second page, and you can see how it's weighted. And then we put different positions in here. We'll put past positions you've had that you really loved. We'll put positions you've had that you did not like. We'll put things that maybe you've always wanted to pursue and you've been, you know, scared to pursue it. We'll put your current role in there. We'll put at least 5 different positions to start so that you can see how they weigh out. And so that's when they really start grasping, oh my God, this makes so much sense. This is so cool. And then I tell them, and what's cool is once you create, maybe you're going to go down 2 tracks, 2 different functions, right? Then let's say you are interviewing and you're getting job offers. We can actually put the companies in here or those positions in here, and we can weight them so that you know what questions to ask in the interview, so that you can be aware of what the red flags are as it relates to what makes you happy.
Okay, perfect. Carissa, anything to add or questions?
No, it's really helpful listening. Thank you.
Awesome. So I'm going to demonstrate the way I used to do it. I don't do it much anymore. But what I would do is I would say to the client, So you're wanting to find a position that will make you happier. And one thing that I've learned is that the values and action inventory absolutely helps you find your values, that then the more of those values you use in your work, the happier you're going to be. And it's scientifically proven. It was developed by Martin Seligman. He was the positive psychologist. He was the first positive psychologist. And all those books that you see out there are based on his work, all the happiness books that are out there. It's his research. And what I found in my life was I have the value of creativity, love of people, love of learning. And I can't think of the other two right now, but what I found was if I look back at all the jobs that I've had, I find that the ones that had more of those values made me happier. So one of my first jobs out of college was being a technical editor. And as a technical editor, I didn't get to learn that much. People actually hated me rather than loved me. The social interaction I used a little bit because I had to figure out how to tell people they were doing things wrong. And I was alone all day, and so it didn't match my value of being around people and so forth. So that one totally didn't match. Then I did training many years later, and you can see that there's creativity because I was designing my own material. There was love of learning because I was learning all the time new material to teach, and also learning from the people I was working with. Ability to love and be loved. I was loved by the trainees and I loved them. So that was caution and prudence. That's another one that I have. And it was more apparent in training than it was in being a technical editor. If I moved to comma as a technical editor, somebody might die, actually. So it was important because I was working on the B-2 bomber. It was important, but even more so with training. And then when I got to coaching, all of my values matched and I felt completely fulfilled. So that's my example. It will happen for you. If we have you take the values and action inventory and you take those and try to find something to work as a job that uses many of those, you're going to feel much more fulfilled. And we're going to put your job in there and you're going to probably see that part of the reason you're not happy is because you went to do something you were interested in, but it doesn't match your values. And that's what happened with me. I was interested in editing, but it didn't match my values. Let me take a sip of water.
And I would just add, Carissa, do it on yourself or have somebody.
Yeah,
do it.
And that's what
because
I'm trying.
That was Donna, you did it with me, and it was great. I go back to it and I just look at it so I know my top five values.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, so use your story when you're going to sell and use your story to help them understand and be motivated to do it. Does that make sense? So you guys need to go and develop your story. How did your values match all the different jobs that you did? Right. And then I can talk with a lot of passion too.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other piece is, and then I explain, okay, we're going to look at your values. We're going to look at your personality type because your personality needs to match your work as well. We're going to look at what you desire in your life, and what you desire in your work environment. And what's really special about what we do, everybody out there has you take inventories. Everybody does. But how do you marry all the inventories together? So this inventory may tell you need to be a priest, and this inventory may tell you need to be a truck driver, but how do you pull that all together? And so two things that are special about our process. One is that we take criteria from all the inventories and from our conversations with you. And the other is that we use those inventories to come up with different possibilities. And we also have great research for you to be able to do. And what we do, though, is we put it into a matrix. And this is the part that's completely special to us. It's Glacier Point Solutions. Nobody has this. It's actually a total quality tool from the old days, from Japan. And what we do is we put your criteria that's developed from all the inventories. So your values, what your personality says about what you need in your work, what your desired work environment is, how much money do you want to make, how, you know, do you want to work with a bunch of people or on your own? Those kinds of things, they become criteria. And then the other thing we do is we help you create a long list of possibilities, and then we help you narrow it, and then once it's narrowed, we put it into this matrix, and we numerically evaluate the possibilities against the criteria. And what happens then is you get clarity. And the reason you need this is because you cannot keep all the criteria in your brain at the same time. And you cannot keep all the possibilities in your brain at the same time. So by having the criteria and the possibilities in this matrix, you see it, you evaluate it, and what happens is some of them numerically match higher than others. And almost always what I see is we do put your current job in there, and almost always what we see is it comes up like as a 400, and then the possibilities come up at like 1,000. So there's a real clear difference, and we can see, is it your values? Is it your personality? Is it your desired work life? What is it that matches up? And then what happens is you take the top 3 to 5 and you do some research on them, and we help you do that. We have websites for you to do that, and we help you figure out the way to do that. Some of it might be informational interviewing. So that's how I would beef up the description of the matrix. And it is what differentiates us, and it's an important piece to talk about. Now, if you get somebody that's really creative and non-numbers oriented, then you can do it verbally, and you just tell them, we'll do it verbally, but we'll still use the format of it. And I'll show you how to do that in a few minutes. Any questions?
I just think the other exploration resources and activities are really good too, especially for people who don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right. And I also think that the O-Net, to show them that, the resources for the O-Net, you know, the research resources, those are really powerful for people.
Absolutely.
Because most of them don't know about it.
Yeah, so it's like we have a website you can go to that will tell you, will describe each job. And so if it's in that database, you actually get a full description of what that job is like. And now it may be a little different in different industries, but it'll start to give you a feel for what people do in that job. So that's really powerful. And we have lists of careers that you can just look through and then put in the matrix and evaluate. So one thing too, is you said 5, I usually do more like 20. So,
I mean, to start. You know,
yeah, yeah. So
give them a range and to see the difference.
Yeah, to start looking at it.
Like to put a job in there they didn't like.
Yeah.
Versus a job they like versus something they've always wanted to do.
Right, right. Yeah, so it's kind of an iterative process. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, any other comments or questions? So do you think you would incorporate a little bit more about the career matrix? You don't have to go as far as I did, but do you think you guys would talk a little bit more about it?
Well, I would show them the flowchart, which I never do.
Okay.
Just so that they're aware of it.
Yeah. And
here's the process we're going through.
And also then just showing them the matrix, even if you don't talk too much about it, that at least gives them a visual of where you're going. And I even usually talk about that when I'm talking to you, I have a piece of paper with a line down the middle, and I'm writing criteria on the left, and I'm writing possibilities on the right. And through the conversation, I'm getting both the whole time. Cool. Okay. So thanks for doing that. Let me just put this up. This is the actual summary of the career exploration process. You can see it starts with talking about the possibilities and the criteria, and it talks again about interviewing and the assessments, and even the Hull and Rasic is another one you could use. Also the activities that you can use, and then adding the criteria to the matrix. If you were in the process, then you'd talk about looking for duplicates and double negatives. You would help them with applying the weights to it. Then you would review the possibilities and throw some out that really aren't, you know, it's like you're brainstorming in the beginning, and then the brainstorm, you're throwing some stuff out. And then putting it into the matrix, filling the matrix in, rating the positions against the matrix, and then doing the research and so forth. So this is also available there, and you can show it to the client as well. In fact, I think I need to add it to the Donna Schilder website so it's available to them as well. But you can see that we covered the whole thing. And that's another thing that you could have out and, you know, something to review. Oh, okay. I am going to show you some matrix examples today and just kind of point out some different things about those examples. And just so you can kind of see some things that can be kind of interesting about them. This first one, one thing you see is that as we were looking at it, there were some duplicates. So these were actually criteria that were down here. I almost always end up with some criteria down here, and then I end up helping them eliminate some. And in this case, analytical and judgment and critical thinking are very close. And so we kept the values one rather than the other one that came out someplace else. Also, honesty, authenticity, and integrity. This one, I'm not sure it's exactly the same. And so I don't know that we should have eliminated this one. You can kind of see that they're a little bit different. But if you were able to operate with honesty and authenticity, that probably means that the environment is ethical. Right? You know, if you're in a sales environment that's really aggressive, you're not going to be able to be completely honest and have full integrity, if you know what I mean. I mean, sometimes they drive you to not say things that are ethical. If you're working in reality TV, you're probably not in an ethical environment. And I actually did work in reality TV, and it wasn't ethical, and they made me lie, and I hated it, and I left. So, able to be nice is the same as kindness and generosity. Making a difference is the same as sense of purpose, right? The reason you want to get rid of the duplicates is if you have more than one, it's going to skew the results. So you need to, once you get the criteria in here, is there anything else that I'm missing that might be a duplicate in this one? Can you see it well enough? Here, let me, I thought this was zoomed, but it's not zoomed. Okay. And let me get rid of this. So
I'm just wondering about the, you know, the practical sense around positive work environment and able to be nice. If they are, when you think practically about what, you know, are they very similar? Are they the same? I don't know. I feel like they are, but I'm wondering if there's a different perspective.
I think positive work environment would be more empowering.
Yeah.
Versus kindness and generosity is just being kind and generous. And then empowering would be more uplifting. I don't know.
And I think that, I'll tell you one reason I think they might be different is that as a kindergarten teacher, you get to be kind and generous, but maybe the principal doesn't support you, so it's not as positive of a work environment as it could be. I mean, that's actually sort of something that happened to me. I think that a lot of people would have positive work environment and not have kindness and generosity as a value necessarily, right? I want it to be positive, but being able to be kind and generous, which is a hard one to find in a job, but we get to do that. Some therapists do that. Some, you know, trainers get to do that. But some people work completely independently. So they're not, you know, like the editor, you're not getting to be kind and generous, but it could be a positive work environment and maybe that's all you need. So I think they might be separate. Depends on the person, and a lot of this is very subjective. So that's one example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another, you know, I've had clients who have said, who have that as a value, and they say, you know what, I'm always kind and generous wherever I am, so I'm not sure how to evaluate that in a job because that's who I am, and I'm going to be that way regardless.
And what I would do with that is I would skip this. Sometimes I skip one and I go to the sixth one. I say, yeah, you know, every job that you're looking at has this criteria, so why don't we just take that one out and put the sixth one in? And if great gratitude comes up, I always put the sixth one in because it's almost impossible to get a job where you're grateful. You know, spiritual jobs have gratitude in them. And it's just kind of core to your personality. So with some of them, I just use a different one. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And the other, I mean, I guess the other way we approach that too with the client, I give them the choice. I've said in that case, you know, when they say, I'm always kind and generous, I might say, okay, well, how do you feel the environment will receive that? Is that an environment where they can, you know, you will feel open to be kind and generous, and will they value that? So I guess that goes back to the, that's where I might say, is it a positive work environment or do they value kindness or generosity?
Yeah.
So anyway, that,
yeah. So it could be useful. And I think we know this about coaching in general is there's always more than one way to go, and they all could take you to a good place. And I can see that one because, you know, when I was working on the B2 bomber, everyone kept telling me I was too nice, and I had to learn to be less nice and that didn't match me, and it was uncomfortable. I excelled in the environment because I changed and I acted a different way, but it was a mask. I wasn't completely authentic, but I couldn't be.
Right.
So, and then doing all the other things that I've done has allowed me to be kind and generous. So, absolutely. So I think that's a great point. I want to flip over to this. I thought these were all, I tried to zoom all of these so you could see them, and they seem to be falling out of Zoom. So this is just the example of how all of those came over. I put the word baseline next to two jobs that this person had done. And you can see actually one of them was really high and the other was medium. So that was interesting. And what that told this person is that they needed to do this job, not this job. And so that helped them. And really that's where it went, is just they started going after a job they had in the past and realized that they were happier in that job. They did evaluate some other things, and that person probably in a second stage might do some of these other things when they don't have to save so much money, or when they retire, do it part-time. So they may go do party planning later. Also, what we did is, for a second phase, we put some of these that could be a second phase job. And then we also kept all the rejected. And that's important because they need to know what they rejected. Because sometimes what they'll do is come back and say, oh, I want to be a floral arranger. And then they at least know that they rejected it the first time. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any comments there?
Yeah, no, that's good.
Okay, so number two, again, we found some identical things. You know, this came from their personality as well as their values. That's really common. And we decided that creativity and idea orientation were really similar. Supports group initiatives and collaborative, we decided was very similar. And I let the client make that decision. I just bring it up. I say, you know, it looks to me like collaborative is pretty similar to supports group initiatives. Does it seem that way to you? You know, I don't say, oh, these are similar, you're taking them out. And these others, they just decided that what was here was more important, although actually this one is the same too, inspire others and inspiring. So we did have quite a bit of duplication on this one. Let me see. Oh, the other thing I wanted to point out about this one is careers that would match your personality type. We just highlighted the ones that matched personality versus values in this list. And again, we kept the rejected. And you can see we didn't get all the way through all of these, but what happens is the ones lower in the table, they start to think, oh, I can look at that and say that it doesn't match and I don't need to go through it. So that's what the example is for this one. Any comments or question on that?
What was the, what inspired you to highlight the ones that match her personality over her values, or like what was?
She felt like these were more important.
Okay.
It was just her, and you can kind of, well, they're kind of rated the same, but for some reason she was really feeling like my job doesn't match my personality. And I just want to find something that matches my personality more. So I just, you know, follow what they connect with the most too. And you can see how having the highlighted colors really helps. Mm-hmm. And I, now that I'm looking at it, I'm almost thinking it should just go all the way down. But what do you guys think? Rather than just be highlighted up here.
I think that would be better.
I think that would be really good.
Okay. So I realized that as we were going, highlight all the way down. I'm going to have some work to do. I'm not supposed to get work from all this. Okay. So then let's look at example 3. And we'll go back to the criteria. And example 3, what was interesting about this one was we did this. And then a year later, she wanted to do it again. Oh, it isn't this one. Oh, it's not this one. Okay. Oh, I think it was just we did add these criteria a year later. So, and then we went back and the things shifted. And it was interesting that DJ came up so high for this person. It was a young person. You can see all the things that they were doing pretty much were creative types of things, and they got down here and they actually ended up going to work on being a video producer and just kind of looked at the others and said, I don't want to do those. So that's what happened with that one, which is totally fine. It's whatever works best for the client. Example four. Oh, one thing I wanted to show you in example 4 was the sorted. So this is the main matrix. And we did put some notes here, like research the pay. And so they kept that red and then did some research and then filled it in as a different number because they didn't know that was correct. This one, they didn't understand at all. So they went to read ONET. And once they read it, they said, no, I don't want to do that. And then this one was one that they wanted to do some research, the high school teacher. What we did, though, was we did the ratings. And then we did a sorted page, and I just wanted you to see what that looked like. When you do the sort, you want to do it with values. If you want to do a sort, you're going to change these to values. And all the other lines are going to come out at the bottom here, and you're going to just delete them. But what was interesting, she's the one that a year later, too, came in and put some additional criteria. And we didn't multiply it or anything, but she, you know, looked at speech pathologist as matching even more. And she went from working at a car company to becoming a speech therapist and being able to be with her son more. So that was a really good one and a big shift, and ended up being the top rated thing. She went in and did research. Money wasn't as important. But matching her, the second sentence of her vision was, so she wrote a vision for her life. And then the first sentence of the vision and then the second sentence of the vision was what she put in here. We probably should have put words, but.
Oh, that's what the numbers relate to.
Mm-hmm. So the first sentence is a vision, the second sentence is a vision,
oh,
and the third one's monetary. How much money am I going to make at this? And financial advisor, she was going to make more, but she researched into that and she just felt like the whole sales thing she didn't want to do. So does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And we got our rejected here down at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Any comments or questions? Okay. Examples?
Actually, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I wanted to ask how, where I feel like I could, where I feel like it's a lot of work for me, not work for me, but it's, you know, when a client is having difficulty coming up with different career options during the brainstorming phase, that's, you know, they're just struggling because they're just, you know, it's just,
they don't know.
They have no idea. So thinking outside the box is kind of, you know, anyway, so where, you know, I've been in some cases where I'm brainstorming myself, but I feel like it's, you know, they're just really struggling. And I'm just wondering if you have any advice to help open that up a little bit in terms of the brainstorming for us as coaches, mm-hmm. to help with that. I mean, I look at their criteria. I think, so I have a sense sometimes based on the conversations of where to go, but you know, sometimes it's like, I don't know, I've thought about that. And, you know, so I'm trying to get more added to the list, more brainstorming, and encourage them to consider more brainstorming. But I'm just wondering if you have any advice to get creative,
or yeah.
to, you know, where to go with that.
Yeah, I do have some ideas. One is to ask them to go look through these career list websites. So there's all these lists here, and
yeah.
just say, hey, I need you to just look through a bunch of these lists and write down things that look interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some that are very specific to, you know, music or different things that might be, you know, focused on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the career resources also, the ONET can be used that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's another one. And it also has the U.S. News and World Report here, and that has extensive resources. So, and then, you know, I've got a list of crazy jobs no one's ever heard of, and all of us should be adding those. So I would love to get some emails of new jobs that you see, because there's not lists of the very newest jobs. I have a couple lists on there, but it's like 10 jobs. It's not, you know, enough to really cover that. So one is the resources. Two is having them talk to people they know and asking them what they do and what their friends do and what they could see them doing. And, you know, sometimes you get an introvert and they don't have many friends, so that can be an issue. But that's another piece is, you know, talk to your parents, talk to your family, try to just get a feel of what kinds of jobs are out there.
And that's on that list.
Yeah.
Ariana. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah. And there's a list here. Number 13 on this one is understanding departments and companies and organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So this is interesting because I think most people don't know all the different functions that are in a company. And so, you know, you've talked about industries, you've talked about lists, but here's, most companies have all of these, and these link out to information about them. So, so then you can get into accounting and you can read this, and this will tell you all the different accounting jobs. So it's like, if you want to work in a big company, I want to expose you to everything that's in a big company. And even people who work in big companies don't even know this. You know, some do, but some people just work in IT and they don't realize there's audit and there's production and there's customer service and so forth. So I think this is a really great tool. And I would go there with them and I would say, you know, gosh, my gut is that human resources might be really good for you. And, you know, I want to, and the other thing is us knowing. So I think part of it too is us spending some time looking at these. When I first started doing this, even though I've had a million jobs and consulted in a million things, I went through and read these and I got them in my brain. So part of it is also being able to give them. But, you know, then you go down into this or you Google it and you say, you know, okay, what are the jobs in human resources? Well, I know that there's, you know, claims and there's employee relations and there's event planning and there's, you know, there's performance management, you know, so also talking from your experience about what's in, mm-hmm. what's in a company.
I think the Barnes and Noble
exercise. Yeah, I love the Barnes and Noble exercise too. It just get them walking around and it could be, it doesn't have to be Barnes and Noble. It could be anything that's going to, like a magazine rack or, mm-hmm. you know, it could be your books or it could be your parents' books. You know, what's there? What, you know, what looks interesting? And then teasing it out. Like if they say, well, gosh, you know, I really like numbers, then saying, well, what are jobs that use numbers? What can you think of? And then, okay, well, I can think of IT, and I can think of accounting. I can think of budgeting. You know, does any of that sound interesting? If so, let's write it down. Do you want to go off and research accounting a little bit more? Do you want to research IT more? And so, does that kind of?
Yes, it does. Great suggestions. Thank you.
Okay. Katie, what else would you do to get?
Well, you know, one of the things that I have clients do is I'll say, I want you to take out three large pieces of paper. This is your assignment. Put them on the wall. And I want on the first piece sheet of paper, I want you to write out all the things you've done in your career that you loved doing. Like they played to your strengths. You had fun. They gave you energy. And then on the second piece of paper, what were the things you've done in your career that you definitely don't want to do again? They did not give you energy. And on the third piece of paper, I want you to write down what you haven't done yet that you want to do.
Love it.
Because mm-hmm. then those, it's kind of like what we want to do is we want to find a function, a path that's going to combine your first and your second. You're always going to have things you don't always like about every job. But if it's going to play to your happiness factor and to making you long-term and bring your full potential to your work, it's going to be a combination of these two. Again, this is going to help you in the interview process when it comes to the questions you're going to be asking. Yeah. And so not only are you going to get clarity about what you need and desire, but you're going to be able to bring that into the conversation. Yeah. And that way, you know, they just, sometimes people have big ahas doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's assignment they do and they come back and they say, oh my gosh, you know, I realized this. Because nobody thinks about where they want to go.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing it can do is sometimes people realize it's just their boss. They get this list and it's like, it's exactly what they're doing and they're unhappy because they have a bad boss. And so what that means is you need to just get this job someplace else. Another thing that happens sometimes is that they do that list and they like most of what they do and there's some stuff here they hate and they're able to either delegate that or negotiate with their boss or negotiate with a peer to do that piece of it. And that's one thing, and that's there's a podcast that I did called Reinvent Your Career, and it's about that you can take the job you're in and shape it. And the best mm-hmm. job you ever have is the one you create. Mm-hmm. And I've gone in companies and actually completely changed what I did. I was in B-2 Bomber. I was doing technical manuals and checking them with the Air Force. And I switched entirely to doing process improvement. And I did it by starting to do it and presenting it to the top people. And then they're like, oh, you've got to do this. You just saved us $1 million. So, you know, if you can see something in your company that you want to do, that's, you know, really valuable too. Carissa, any thoughts or how do you get somebody to think of more ideas?
I'm really appreciating all the ideas that you've shared. I like that. one that you shared, Katie, of like having three pieces of paper out in front of you. And that could just be because it's my style, but kind of getting it out there. I really appreciate that. The movement of the Barnes and Noble, getting out and interacting.
Yeah, and I tell them when they go to Barnes and Noble, do not use your head in this process. You're only allowed to use your gut, your intuition. Mm, take a pad of paper and a pen and just let your intuition guide you to the store. Mm-hmm. You may go down the mechanic aisle. You may go down, you know, an aisle you never thought you'd go down. And there might be something attractive.
Yeah. And I really like what Carissa's saying, because she's talking about learning style. And so one thing we need to think about is, if you don't have a client that's a verbal processor, mm-hmm. then you, if they're visual, maybe they need to look at pictures of people doing jobs. Maybe they need to draw. Maybe they need, you know, they need to go look at people doing the job. If they're kinesthetic, you know, yeah, walking around. I'll have clients stand up and do something. You know, if you're kinesthetic, you know, so I want you to imagine that you're doing your you know, best job. Stand up, and I want you to tell me what's happening in your body and what are you doing? What's coming into your hands? What's around you? What's physically, you know, close your eyes and picture it. So, you know, utilize also their learning style to leverage them getting ideas. So, you know, they could draw on those pieces of paper. They could look through magazines and cut up things and put it on there to make it visual. I've had people do a picture frame that does pictures and just reminds them of things. So definitely using the learning style is great too. Okay. Is that good then? Can we move to the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think we're on 5. And again, you can see that almost all of them have how much they want to make. And that's part of why some of the jobs are just thrown out, is because if you look through the jobs, they're not going to make the money that they need to make. They just need to throw it out, right? Most of these people are pretty reasonable. And usually the low number is what they can get by with, and the high number is what, you know, they want to get. So with this one... I wanted to show off the color coding that the client did. They said these were the most important things to them, and so they wanted to highlight that. They highlighted the jobs that ended up coming up higher, and you can see we did a lot of jobs in there. You know, genealogist, office manager, estate planner, process improvement, corporate trainer. So, you know, just a lot of different things that are all across the board, but do have, you know, things that would match up with them. In this case, unfortunately, this person interviewed personal organizers and decided she didn't like that, started a tour company, which was the lowest thing here, pretty much. So sometimes they just want to do it and you got to let them go. It's not working out for her, but... So sometimes, you know, they're set on what they want to do. And that's something, if you sense that, are you just set on doing this? Let's just cut to the chase and help you go do that. So that's...
I think the other objective, though, the hard thing, I would say the thing I could use more clarity on is when you go into a tour guide, like I've never been a tour guide, but that's something that is coming to my mind. Well, I don't know if there's caution and prudence in being a tour. You know, they go to, I don't really know. And so how do you coach them around? I mean, I typically will just say, well, based on what you know, where do you feel that would fall?
So I would do some of that. But the other thing is, this generates questions for them to go do research on. So if you say, hey, I don't know if there's, mm-hmm. if there's caution and prudence in this, you can either look at the O-Net mm-hmm. or the, you know, Google it, or you can ask somebody.
Right. So just have it be homework.
And then, so then I would just highlight the ones that become homework.
Okay.
You know, I would, you know, make them a different color, and I would even have them write down what is the question you need mm-hmm. to ask to get clarity on this. And so a lot of people will have holes all over them mm-hmm. and then they go do research.
Yeah, and it's a great question to incorporate into an information interview.
Exactly.
And it's a great, you know, to start talking about that as a research and as a networking aspect at this point.
Yeah, so it gives them specific things to start asking questions, and I try to get them to find a person rather than finding it for them. But so every once in a while, I'll give it to them because I know that it's hard to find and they can't find it. And so I'll say, I know somebody that does this. I'll ask them if they'll talk to you. But yeah, that's just pointing you to research. But if you know, I would give it to them. You know, it's like I'll say, I don't know that I would give hotel quality, in this case, hotel quality assurance, a 3 on judgment and critical thinking. To me, that's what this job does. So, you know, what do you think? And if they don't believe me, then I say, go do research. If not, so I do influence them. And if they do it on their own, I look through it and then I send back little notes and say, I think this might need to be higher or lower. We have to use our expertise in this too. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Number 6. Let's see. I think I got one more here. And it's not wanting to come over. And what was it about? I think we're okay without it. So any comments, questions on this process?
No, other than I love the career matrix and I really enjoy doing it with clients. And I find once the clients go through the process, they really start to see the value of it. And I really enjoy it.
That's awesome.
I have to tell you too, I got hit up by a woman through LinkedIn who said, I want to have a discovery session with you because I have hired 2 career coaches. And I don't know what I'm going to do next. And they try to direct me down a path that they want me to go, or they're just Googling titles. They don't know what they're doing. Like, you now have found the right coach.
Yeah. We give them a step-by-step process. It's not just the matrix. It's all the research. And Katie really gave a lot to this process as well as the job search process. So I want to commend her for the things that she's given, and Ariana's given things, and everybody's welcome to give more things. But we have a step-by-step process that works. And one of the things I want to say is, when I'm describing it to clients, the other thing I say is what we have found hundreds of times. And you can say this because I have done this with hundreds of people, hundreds of times, that you come out the other end, you have clarity, and clarity translates into action very easily. The reason you're stuck, the reason you're not doing anything on this is because you're not clear. You don't know what direction to go in. Once you know, almost, I'd say 75% of the time, people get so strong in what they're doing that it just happens. Right? It's just the clarity moves them forward. It gets them unstuck. And that's what we're here for. And it does take time. You're going to invest, you know, three months into this. But what a big decision we're talking about. This is your life. This is where you're going to spend all your time. So thanks, everybody, for your input on that. I am going to try something with you now. We're going to switch topics. We've got 25 minutes, and I want to talk about coaching other abled clients. Other abled clients can have so many different things, and it impacts the career they choose. It ends up impacting how they look for a job and what they say, and it impacts retaining a job. So it's definitely very career-oriented. There's another piece of it that's life-oriented. How do you live the best life you can with your other abledness? But it greatly impacts career. And on this list, can you guys see this list okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Great. On this list, I've coached almost all of these. Yeah. The one I haven't done is blind. So one thing I wanted to do is have us add any other able things. Can you think of any other things that I've missed or that we've missed. Actually, this partially came from Ariana.
I don't know if this is, I mean, where I suspect this client was autistic, although we didn't have, and I don't know if it's the same. I mean, I think it's different than Asperger's, but.
It's a spectrum. It's on the same spectrum. And I have coached autistic and Asperger's both. So yeah, I think that's good to put there. Anybody else? Anything else you can think of?
And I couldn't decide if this was related, but it's the same client. He had an eye tic, like a very strong eye tic. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if you want to put that next to lazy eye or something.
That is a different thing. And that's actually possibly a Tourette syndrome, but
could be.
We don't know. So one thing I'd like is everybody to think about it and go through your life and see if you see any others that we need to add here. Go ahead.
Actually, I have another one. It was a neck injury, and I think there was a term that he used, but he couldn't. He had to hold his head up the whole time. It would flop. So he had to hold his head up. So he needed to work with a chair that had a support.
That actually could be dystonia too.
I didn't know what
possible
dystonia is.
Actually I have dystonia and I lean this way naturally. I have to keep fighting to lean this way. So
his is very very very, like, it was, you know, he had to hold it
he wasn't getting treatment. I mean it could be something else, but a lot of times if you see somebody like this or like this, that's dystonia. But you can get treatment, and I mean, I would be a lot more that way if I didn't have great treatment. You go.
So short-term memory, you had brain injury.
Yeah.
And short-term memory, I had a client,
we actually have a coach that doesn't have short-term memory issues necessarily, but she does have a brain injury. Yeah. And so there's things that, like, I know I'm not going to give her an Excel spreadsheet to work with because I know that she can't, but she's a brilliant coach. Mm-hmm. So, we just adjust for people. And I was going to say stroke too. So send any other ideas you have here. I will talk about lazy eye and face blind just so that you have an example. I had a client that was on the edge of losing her job, and she had lazy eye, and it was because they thought that she was disengaged and that she wasn't, like, engaged in meetings. She wasn't engaging with her boss and so forth. And what we figured out is that she just needed to tell everyone to look at this eye. And she was afraid to do that. And once she did that, everything fell into place. So sometimes helping them retain their job is just helping them communicate. Face blind. I had a client that was a VP at a very large clothing company that you've heard of that was face blind. Face blind means you can't recognize people. And so the only person he could recognize was his wife. That was the only person that he could recognize. So he was way up in this company. He was brilliant. And everyone thought that he was really cold and uncaring because when he walked down the hall, he wouldn't look at people. And he wouldn't greet people when he sat down in a meeting. He wouldn't say their name. He wouldn't, and he just was so self-conscious about this. So again, we had him tell everybody and the whole thing turned around. So then people, and he said, I can't recognize you. So what I need you to do is when you come up to me, say, hi, it's John. And once they started doing that, everything turned around.
But he can see if they're smiling.
Yeah, he just can't recognize who you are.
He just can't recognize who you are.
Yeah, and he was embarrassed.
Yeah.
And so being embarrassed made him withdraw. Yeah. And he's a very outgoing person. So it was, you know, just the impediment. I have a friend that had has early onset Parkinson's. And in her job, what they did, and this is job retention, they had somebody write for her because she couldn't handwrite anymore. So she was a program manager. She eventually had to leave that job, but she was a program manager in a very large insurance company, and they gave her a person to write notes in meetings because she couldn't write. Mm-hmm. And that was an easy fix, and mm-hmm. she could do the rest of it for a while. Eventually she couldn't. So talking about whether to tell your employer you have Parkinson's or not, she hid it for 5 years. They have a tendency to lay off people that have mm-hmm. Parkinson's early. Mm-hmm. So it's better not to say. She compensated, you know, for a while. She used two hands to do the mouse, and then she was able to do that. But, you know, eventually she couldn't do it, which was sad. So what I want to do is I want to try the breakout room thing, and it's like not showing up on my thing, but there's kind of three big topics here. One is deciding on a career. The next is how to look for a job and how is it going to impact what you say, and then how to retain your job. So we only have three people. I don't know what's going to happen when I put you into the breakout rooms, and for some reason it's hiding here. I don't know why. It might be hiding because we don't have four people. I don't know. I really wanted, oh, here it is. Okay. Oh, wait, I did the wrong thing. Okay. I will get this. And it's better to do this with a small group rather than a big group first. So I'm out of my comfort zone now. Okay. So I'm going to see what happens. We're going to break out. Hopefully I'll be with one of you. If it doesn't work, I'll bring you back. But pick one or two of these and talk about how you would coach them. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. In one of the topics, because you said career exploration, keeping your job. So we pick an impairment or another ability and then coach them in one of the three topics.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. List questions you would ask. How's that?
Okay.
That work? Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. Okay, I think, are we all just
we have to click.
Oh, you have to click something?
You have to click join. Yeah, it says you're being invited. And then click join breakout room. Except it came up a couple of times and now it's gone. I can't click it.
Okay, let me do it.
Yeah.
Okay, now you should be able to do it. Okay, did anybody stay with me? Nobody stayed with me. You all went into the same room. Just okay, so let's just have the discussion and I'll be quiet. But at least now I know how the technology works.
That's funny. Except we can't see your slide anymore.
I know. We can see the slide.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, it said job search, career exploration, and retaining the job.
Okay. So which
I guess each one of us could take one category, right? Yeah. Job search, career exploration, or retention. I'll take job search.
Yeah, you could be a little louder.
Oh, can you hear me?
That's better.
I'll take job search. What do you want, Carissa?
I can take career exploration. And so we're just brainstorming questions that we would ask to
our client. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But we should pick a condition.
I guess so. Mm-hmm.
So was there one that resonated more with somebody? What I'm really curious about, something that's visible, you know, something that's visible to somebody else. So if they were to go on an interview, you know, how do you address it at that point? How would we coach them around that? So if you're all on board with that, it really does, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
That'd be hard.
What was that?
Someone that's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
maybe they're not paraplegic. I forget what was on the list, but let's just say they had a wheelchair.
Okay.
So how would we coach them for each of these things? For job search, well, it'd be finding out what they're currently doing, what they've done in the past, and finding out what's working, what's not working. I guess, so I'm confused what we're supposed to be discussing. I guess,
kind of the, one of the first things that comes up for me is kind of along the lines of the examples Donna shared is like, what is their comfort level or experience with sharing it with people and talking about whatever their, you know, ability is. Because I can relate to the vulnerability of like, you wouldn't even think about bringing it up because you don't even know how to talk about it type of thing. So, so that would probably be one place I would start, you know, especially if they're coming to career exploration. I would wonder, are you coming specifically to learn how to talk about this, or because you just want to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then where are they in their capacity or experience of sharing it with others and their comfort level of talking about it?
The other thing I would want to investigate is, what have they done with vocational rehab? Right. And I would want to read up on the American Disabilities Act. Like, what are their rights? I'd want to know their rights, and I'd want to know, because my daughter's deaf. I mean, she can always go to vocational rehab, and, you know, how can they get support other than just coaching, right? Because vocational rehab, they have career resources for certain people. You know, so what has been their strategy up until now?
Okay.
What's worked, what hasn't worked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What are they struggling with now that they need support with?
Yeah.
And then so what are their fears associated with that, right? Like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, Ariana?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, from a career retention standpoint, you know, if they're currently in a role that they had an accident or they got sick and then now they're in a wheelchair, you know, it would be really great to understand what parts of their job can they still do and what parts of their job are they challenged with and what percentage does that make up? You know, is it 50-50? Is it 95% they can't do? They were out on their feet all day. You know, what does that look like? And that can help understand how much has to change in terms of accommodation for the employer, you know, to retain their job.
I would also ask, in any of these, I guess, what do they feel is holding them back? What do they, you know, what, because like there may be something undercurrent. There may be an undercurrent that's emotional and not physical.
Yeah, like what is their belief now about their condition or what they're...
Yeah, it's just like job search people, right? How they go out on their job search in desperation mode. Like, well, that's not going to get you anything, right? How can you begin to look at this as you're creating this new iteration of yourself, right? So I think I would, you know, what's showing up emotionally? What's their sense, right? And have a good discussion around that.
And, you know, kind of going from there, maybe like, what do they have to offer, you know, with this, you know, whatever happened to the, you know, that might be a strength, that might be, what can they, so not only like, what is your limiting belief or what might be holding you back, but what might you consider that you have to offer that others wouldn't? Because of this condition or because of the life experience or because of facing this fear or this, what, you know, so kind of adding that strength piece to it.
Totally. Because people with disabilities, I'm sorry, but But their intuition is so much stronger than ours. Like, they are like tapped in and tuned on, turned on. Mm-hmm. Because they have this, you know, they're compromised in a way we're not, mm-hmm. and that helps the other things about them. Yeah. It accentuates, yeah. And so it's really getting them to recognize that. Mm-hmm. What are their qualities, and what are they most proud of? Mm-hmm. What did they learn from having this? Mm-hmm. What wisdom can they bring?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great point. It's a privilege, but, you know, the strengths, the pluses. Because mm-hmm. it seems like so much of the coaching we do, whether it's career exploration, job search, or, you know, something else, people need validation. They need acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess one of the things that I keep coming back to in my mind too, and a question that's come up with clients is how much to tell and when to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I don't know that I have the answers to that for all the conditions, but I absolutely don't. But that's a question that, you know, how much to tell and when to tell.
Yeah.
And, you know, so to turn that back to the coachee, it would be interesting to understand what their experience have been up to that point. You know, have they been in job search? Have they had experiences where they've shared at different stages in the interview or in the interview process? What have their experiences been?
And I would also want to know, like, what groups do they participate in? What online forums? Because they're not the only person out there. And so where do people that have the opportunity to work with this challenge, where do they hang out? But they gotta be online. And are there specific recruiters that work with people with these certain, issues? I mean, I'm really curious about that. Mm-hmm. If there are recruiters that specialize in that, it would be a specialization. I don't know. I would want to read up on what their rights are for sure.
Yeah. Well, and in the career exploration process too, to your point, that may be, you know, an important consideration in organizations that they look at, you know, what, if they can find out any information related to how that organization or that culture would embrace them or be a good fit for them with that specifically in mind.
So I'm going to take you back. That's been a great conversation. And I don't even have to take you out of the breakout room because I'm in it.
Fly on the wall.
That was a great conversation and a lot of great questions to ask. I would add a couple things. One is talking about how do you describe what you can do and what you can't do, and how to spin that in a way that's positive. And just, I mean, one thing, like with the person in the wheelchair, they got to say something about it because the person's looking at them, right? They can mm-hmm. see it. And so I would just right off the bat, you know, suggest to them right off the bat, say, obviously I have things I can do and things I can't do. And I'd like to describe that to you. And look at, these are all the things I can do. I can be on the phone. I can do research on the internet because I can still use my hands. These are the things I can do. And these are things I can't do, but I think we can find a way to compensate for that. And I really hope that you're open to exploring that. The other thing I would say to them and to anybody, like the other thing I came up with was, if you're 65 or 70 and you're looking for a job, which is happening more and more, I've coached somebody in that situation. And one thing I say to them is, you only need one job. And there's this many jobs out there. And the ones that you could get is this, but there's still a lot in here. That, you know, these people won't hire you, they'll just be prejudiced of you, but there's people here, inside here, So you need to get to one of them, and then you'll have a job. So, mm-hmm. you know, that has helped with the mm-hmm. ageism, just letting people know there's tons of people that are working into their 70s and 80s now. There was a story about a guy that got his pharmacy license at 70. So, you know, it's a different world, and you need to help convince them. I have them Google it, and there's data out there saying you can get hired. So that helps. Also, I would maybe direct them to research companies that hire people who are mm-hmm. have other able, because some do. And mm-hmm. I did coach somebody who was deaf who worked in human resources. So, and it was a struggle to get the next job, but he got it. I love the online forum, maybe also a psychologist. And I love the, if it's just happened, creating a new identity, because mm. that's actually something that I'm struggling with, and it's very real. And, you know, I could go in and appear completely normal. At some point, some of my symptoms would show up and you'd see it. And I don't have the stamina. And so, you know, just thinking about companies that would hire, and also thinking about a business, because in some cases, if they can't get hired, they could create a business. And, you know, that's part of what's working really well for me, is I have a business.
But it's mm-hmm. also the gig economy, right? So it's yeah. looking at maybe not just one business, but what are your areas of expertise? And is it possible to have three different channels where you're creating income?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I particularly went into coaching because I was having back and neck issues, you know, 15 years ago, and it was for a different reason. And then this developed. And so creating a new identity, identifying what you can do to contribute still, because not being able to contribute is, you know, really devastating. Also, there may be some grieving that needs mm-hmm. to be done. Even if it's been a while, there's probably some grieving that needs to be done. I'm doing grieving right now on, you know, I can't coach 30 people. I have trouble coaching one at this point. So just some things to add to what you
hey,
already
Hey, Donna, and I want to add, everybody should look up Chip, C-H-I-P Conley, C-O-N-L-E-Y. He has a Wisdom 2.0 talk. He's a friend of my sister's. He's out of the Bay Area. And he just came out with his book, Wisdom at Work.
Oh, nice.
And he owned the Joie de Vivre hotel chain in San Francisco, sold it, and then Airbnb CEO, who was 30 years old, came after him and said, I want you to mentor me in my company. They hired him, and he's talking about this whole ageism and boomers and how we have to become interns, mentoring up, and we're interning down. You know, we're interning in the roles we're in. But it's with the whole disrupt yourself conversation that Harvard Business Review is having. It's just great content for the ageism and that boomer sector.
Could you send us the link to that, and we'll add it to
yeah.
the website?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be something too. Is you know have them look at TED Talks. A lot of the TED Talks
yeah.
are about people who have issues but still can contribute. So, and it's I just think. Even just seeing the list here hopefully opens your eyes that there's all kinds of different things that can, you know, happen to people. Ariana was working with somebody with narcolepsy recently, right?
Mm. Yeah. And really quickly, one of her challenges was reconciling the fact that she could not work, like she could only work 5 hours productive work before she had to have a nap. She, in her head, she kept looking at jobs that were like 8, 10, 12 hour jobs. She kept looking at shift work. She kept looking at long hour jobs. And I kept, at least she wasn't reconciling it at all. So that was a journey she had to go on to reconcile the two, her condition and what she wanted to do.
And she finally got there.
She finally got there. But it was a long journey for her, and it was difficult for her to incorporate the two. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, that's a journey that I'm on. I hate to bring my own personal stuff in here, but, you know, I went up to trying to work 30, 35 hours, and I found out I can only work 15 or 20 hours, and that's it. And otherwise, I don't have a life. And so I really empathize with that journey, and I do need to you know, I was raised that you have two jobs, so it's hard for me to come down to part-time and stay there, and I'm struggling. So, yeah, and the other thing I wanted to say is, if they're in a job and it happened to them, look around the company to see jobs that they could do. Or, you know, parts of jobs. Like, I can still do this and I could do that, and can we pull that together and let me? Because the best thing is if they just stay in their company.
Yeah.
You know, so. And I appreciate Katie's perspective with her daughter. Can we just say one word? I know we're going over. And I'm going to say the code is brown. I was going to say purple, but now I'm going to say brown. The code is brown. One word from what you're taking away. Ariana?
Well, I knew you were going to say me first.
I do that, don't I?
I just had this feeling and I needed, the word is floating in my brain. I want to say something like practical. This is a really practical session and I really appreciate that. And I appreciate just, you know, this last segment. And I think there's still probably more we could discuss about other ABLED clients. And I would love to table that as a future conversation, spending a few more minutes on it, but practical. I'll just leave it at that. And I love the personal examples that everybody brought. Thank you.
Nice. Carissa?
Yeah, this is really helpful. Helpful would probably be my word. And I would be interested in continuing this last part of the conversation too, just like Ariana said.
Excellent.
Thank you.
That's what I was thinking. Katie?
Possibilities. Just opening up more that I wasn't doing for the career matrix stuff and, you know, hadn't even thought about this other stuff. But I'm reading Chip Conley's book, and so I'm really diving into this whole, so many of my clients are boomers. So I'm diving into a lot of that.
There's another book called The Third Age that's a fantastic book, and it's about actually people more 60 and beyond, maybe 50 and beyond, changing what they do and still having purpose in their lives. And one thing I forgot to say about the values in action inventory is that another way you can approach it is, my current job has these two of my values. My volunteer work has another two. And that, when I've had clients do that, because they got the volunteer work and they got fulfilled over here, they were able to tolerate their job better over here. So I always start with, let's see if we can keep you in your job, because that's the easiest thing to do. Or let's keep you in your company. And then go from there. So sometimes it could be a side business, or it could be your volunteer work. Thank you so much. You guys are so awesome. All our coaches are so awesome, and it just makes me so happy. And we're getting amazing ratings. We're averaging 4.8 on our ratings out of 5. And I'm just so excited about you guys, and excited that you're willing to engage and expand and grow and give to each other and all that. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you,
Donna. Any support you need
from
us?
It may come to that. It may be that I need to delegate some things.
Yeah, well, reach out.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Because, yeah, it's hard to keep the balls in the air and keep me in the air, too.
I'm sure.
And it's disappointing, but I'm, you know, this kind of thing, that I get to do this and it doesn't make me nervous, because nerves make the symptoms worse. It's great, because and I feel like it's giving meaning to my life. So I really appreciate it. And I'm dry.
Well, this is clearly your next body of work, huh?
I think so. Yeah. And
you're getting initiated into something you're going to create.
Yes.
You are.
Yeah, my coach, Larae, is definitely like, just be open to what the possibilities are, open to see what, I made a video the other day, so I'm trying, you know, some things that won't excite my system, because basically that's it, it's anything that's a trigger, getting cold or getting nervous or whatever, that I'm shaking, and so, I'm finding ways, and it's fun, but it's scary, and, but we're going to keep going, and we're doing so well, you guys, we're doing great.
Good.
So thanks
well,
all
thank
of you.
You.
Yeah,
yes, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Everybody take care.
Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.